My dear brother priest, Sister Kathleen, my dear sisters and brothers in Christ, one of the most beautiful parts of our Catholic liturgy is the fact that it teaches us in the regular things that we do when we go to Mass. And one of the first things it teaches us, really the first thing every time we come to Mass, is that all of us, everyone here without exception, has a disability. We say that we're sinners, and there's no greater disability in the world than to be a sinner. The trouble is, most of us don't believe it. And we say it, but we don't really believe it. But if we were really convinced that we are sinners before God, then it changes everything, doesn't it? It changes the way we relate to God, and it changes the way we relate to one another. We become dependent on God rather than the opposite, which is independent from God. We use the big word autonomous, means we decide for ourselves, you know, self-determination. That's what sin is. It's deciding we'll do what we want rather than what God wants. And then once we decide that we are autonomous, then we don't need one another. We're happy to be on our own. But every time we come to Mass, the Church teaches us that we have a disability which always leads to sin. The most beautiful thing about this gathering every year for me is that it reminds me of that, you know, that we are all disabled. And what's most beautiful about the Mass for me is to see the love and care of the caregivers who, in a very special way, take care of their brothers and sisters in need. Whether they're members of the family or they're people who are living at one of our institutions, the Arsacid Institution, whatever, all of you who care for the disabled here are heroes to me, because you take seriously the fact that we have responsibility for one another in our disablement. And you show us in a very concrete, clear way something that's at the basis of our moral life as Christians, and that is that all of us, no matter what, have equal dignity before God. Absolutely equal dignity, without exception. None of us is better than anyone else. None of us is more important than anyone else. All of us are children of God. And because of that, brothers and sisters to one another. So I say thank you. Thank you very much for your good example, which is something that is lived every day. But perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised and so grateful, because the ordinary situation of human beings is to depend on one another and to depend on God. And you're just doing that in a more obvious way, and in a way that probably in your own lives leads you to understand the proper relationship between God, our proper relationship with God, and our proper relationship with one another. So thank you very, very much. We have this celebration today at the beginning of Holy Week. You know, the Easter celebration begins in a very special way tonight with the Vigil of Palm Sunday and continues through this Holy Week with its culmination next Sunday, which is Easter Sunday. We remember during these days that life is a combination of two things, of death and resurrection, of suffering and joy. And the only way to get to the resurrection and the only way to have real joy is to follow the path of Jesus, which is the path of self-giving sacrifice. Another way to refer to that is suffering, you know. Suffering is sacrificing ourselves in the service of God or in the service of our neighbors. And that's at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. And we remember that in a very special way this week so that we can live that way throughout our lives. Death, resurrection, suffering, joy. And there's no shortcut from this moment to the joy and the resurrection except the path of Jesus. Today's first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. I like the way that was read this time. It was very beautiful. You know, both of you sharing the reading together shows, you know, our proclaiming the Word of God as a family. And that's very, very beautiful. But this is a story about God promising the Jews that he would bring them back to their home country and unite them. We might remember the story about the Jewish people fought among themselves, and the people of the north developed their own kingdom, and the people of the south had King David and his descendants as their king. And God promises them in this reading that in the future they'll have one shepherd, one king, and God will bring them back together. This is what we said. God promised, I will make them one nation upon the land in the mountains of Israel, and there shall be one prince for all of them. Never again shall they be two nations, and never again shall they be divided into two kingdoms. God does not like division. God doesn't like disunity. God doesn't like it when we fight with one another. And Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, is always bringing us together. So we ask ourselves, having heard this reading, are we a source of unity in the church, in our families, in our smaller communities, or are we a cause of division? Unity under Jesus Christ is a goal of all Christians. Division is a sign of his enemy, the devil. And so our lack of charity, which is a basic problem every day of our lives, right? We fight with one another, is something sown into our lives by the enemy of God, the devil. And unity and love for one another is a sign of the presence of Christ. In today's gospel reading, it's a very beautiful reading. Jesus is approaching his death in Jerusalem. And the Pharisees and the priests of the temple are talking about Jesus in this reading. And one of them, Caiaphas, who was a chief priest, made a prophecy without knowing it. This is what he said. It is better for you that one man should die instead of the people, so that the whole nation may not perish. And then St. John, commenting on that, says, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God. Jesus died to make us one with his Father and also with one another. And we celebrate that unity that only Jesus can give when we gather together as we do tonight, today, for Mass. And we receive the Eucharist, which is food for the journey of life. How many of you who are members of the, who are family of the people who we honor today at Mass, are tired of doing what you do? Don't raise your hands, please. But how many of you just get tired of it, you know? How many of you who are working with those who we honor today are sometimes tired of doing that? And how many of you who have to put up with the rest of us are tired of doing that, you know? We all come to moments when we get very, very tired. But at that moment, Jesus comes to us in the Eucharist, the bread of life, and like all food, gives us energy to keep going, energy to live our lives in the service of God and of our neighbor. I don't know that there's a better group of Christians in the world than all of you gathered here today. You're a model for the whole church, and we're deeply grateful for that. Sister Kathleen, we honor your leadership, which has shown itself in so many ways for so many years here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. You are the face of the church in this wonderful ministry, and we're deeply grateful to you for that. We're deeply grateful for all those who associate with Sister in this beautiful and wonderful work. But I know that Sister and all those workers are most deeply grateful to the families who are here today, who by their love, by their generosity, are witnesses to all of us of the unity and goodness of God and his presence in our midst. May God bring to completion the fullness of your lives that you show us in so many generous and extraordinary ways. And I'm always grateful for my translators. Thank you very much. Thank you.